WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. As we head down the home stretch, getting up on the ballots arriving in our mailboxes. And before we get to the city council president race here, Don Moeller, I'm going to tell you about our sponsors. Don, I've been telling everybody about Fadley's and me getting over there getting some curbside this week. And I mean, all of our guests have been cheated out of Fadley's as well as State Fair here during the COVID era, but we can still curbside every. When's the last time you were at State Fair? I saw you putting something up the other day, right?
I was at State Fair, last week. We got the wings carry out, the family meal. It must have been for a family of 20. We had so many wings, we ended up saving a bunch for other meals. They're doing great work. You know, the other thing, Nestor, and I know our guests will appreciate this, both Fadley's and State Fair and including Moeller and Gary Realty, they're all doing great things in reaching out and helping to feed the frontline workers, the healthcare workers who are on the front line. Fadley's has been working to do that. State Fair is doing it. Moeller and Gary's involved in the outreach doing it. So really proud of our sponsors for doing that. And then all day today, as we've been doing shows, you've been killing me talking about our new ice cream sponsor. And I bet our guest is familiar with our ice cream. Carl, they've been killing me talking about ice cream all day long.
I got to Harker here, Carl Stokes. What do you think of that, man? A little made in Baltimore, just like all of us, right?
Yes. Yeah, I like that. Absolutely. Yep. And I yum, yum, yum.
Oh, my goodness. He's going through all these flavors. I told him, Carl, he was causing a havoc on the highways. The cars were running into each other as they were looking at their phones, trying to figure out where they could pull off and get some.
Well, all this campaign is costing me weight. I'm gaining weight right now, Carl.
So you're gaining weight. Oh, boy.
Well, to everybody tuning in, we have a former city council member, Carl Stokes, a longtime figure in Baltimore City in a number of areas, certainly in the political world, well-known to folks throughout the region. And at this time in his life, Carl Stokes wants to be president of the Baltimore City Council. So, Carl, welcome to Baltimore Positive.
Oh, I'm glad to be here with you and Nestor. You two guys, a long time. We've all been here a long time, thank God.
Nestor got in trouble this morning, Carl. He said to the Baltimore County Police Chief, he called her an old-timer. She put him in his case. She wasn't quite ready to be put in his case.
I've known her for 25 years. I'm allowed to call us both old-timers at this point, you
right.
know?
Well, I was just talking to one of my friends and your friends earlier, Mark Steiner, and I said, he says, you know, the Sun paper likes to give your age, Carl. I said, yeah, I don't know why. I'm the baby in the group. Look, you know, look, there's Bernie, there's Biden, there's Trump. He says, and there's me. I said, and there's you. I'm the baby here. Where are you guys?
You're the kid. Well, listen, Carl, catch us up. We're in the home stretch here. Recently, there was the latest poll on the city council president's race. The way I read that poll is that anybody can win. There's three of you that can win this thing. You, either one of your opponents. So I always start with number one: why do you want to be city council president? And then number two: can you be elected? Can you win this thing?
Why do you want to do it?
Can you win?
I'll take them both. One is, I want to be the city council president because our city is in need of some stability, some strength. You know, our city is, look, I love the city. I'm born here, you guys are. I've been here my entire life, and God willing, I'll leave from here. And so I just feel very strongly at this point in the city's life, this is probably the most critical election we've had in, I think, two generations, really. I don't think since the first mayoral election of William Donald Schaefer has this been so critical to our city. And I just see the last few years we've had corruption, we've had incompetence. You know, right now crime is eating up our neighborhoods. Crime is eating up City Hall. You know, you're running from the criminals in the neighborhood. You run smack dab into the criminals down on Holiday Street. And it's a mess. I mean, and I don't like talking badly about my city. I don't at all. But guys, look. 10 years ago, I came back to the city council after leaving for 15 years. I thought I was leaving City Hall again a few years ago. But, you know, when I came back 10 years ago, I said, hey, Nobody. We're not auditing the books. I found that we hadn't audited the city books in 30-plus years. 30-plus years.
How does that happen? I mean, like, I want to ask you as someone who has served in government, and look, Don and I, when I was the crazy sports talk guy, I was the guy that would go on the radio and say, all those criminals in government, and Mueller would call me and say, oh, whoa, 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 whoa. Don't, because you saw some guy in Chicago getting arrested, or you read about Agnew 100 years ago or whatever, thinking everybody's a criminal. It doesn't work that way.
Right.
And he preached this to me for a long, long time. And, you know, we've seen Sheila's transgressions, certainly Catherine Pugh in recent times. How do we go, as with all of the people serving, how is there not a check and balance that for 30 years that could be possible? But then again, we're 3 years and however far into a president, we haven't seen his tax returns either, and I'm still scratching my head about that. But at a local level, I figured there would be enough watchdogging around that at some point, someone would be keeping an eye on what's going on so that we wouldn't be in these kind of
situations. You would hope, Nestor, but people have gotten lazy and they're incompetent. You know, people say to me, and most of the people I know are honest, have integrity, are straightforward. So I don't want to tilt that wheel too far to any side, because most of them are, just like cops. Most cops are fantastic men and women and are serving right. But I'm going to even say something about that. Then I'll come back to what you say. Here's what Miss Jackson, who lives next door to me, say, and I'm making up Miss Jackson's name, but Miss Jackson says to me, Carl, councilman, whatever she calls me, she says, I know a lot of great cops. I know them. I talk to them. They come in. I serve them something to eat. I give them something to drink. I know them. I've known most of them since they've been here. She said, but Carl, I know some hell of a bad cops. And here's what I'm thinking, Carl. If the good cops don't turn into bad cops, aren't they all bad? And I say, Miss Jackson, I'm going to walk away now, because you know what Miss Jackson is saying. And Miss Jackson's point is that if we, who are the so-called good politicians and the good cops, allow the lazy, bad cops, politicians, to get away with crap, aren't we just as responsible? And guys, I'm telling you, that's what has happened to our city government.
Well, Carl, I've got to jump in because, boy, are you singing my tune, and I want to address it a little bit, because Nestor talks about the conversations we've had. I think it's why people like you and me and others who have been in office, who have served,
right,
why we get so angry when Catherine Pugh just blatantly violates the law and the public trust. It's why I got so angry a few weeks ago when some senators appeared to dump millions of dollars worth of stock based on some insider information that they got that the public didn't have. Because
right.
I think what happens is people like Mrs. Jackson and people like Nestor Aparicio over the years say, see, they're all like that. And you and I know they are not all like that.
They're not. The but is that why won't you say something to your buddy that you work with? Why won't you say something to your supervisors? Somebody has to say, hey, guys, hey, gals, this is not right. You're putting my life in danger. You're putting me in jeopardy. And this is not why we serve. And they're right. Frankly, they're right. You know, most of what is going on in city government that is wrong is not because of corruption. It is not because of corruption. It's because of incompetence, and it's because of laziness, and it's because we have become, I don't know if the term would be guys, but we become friendly, or we just non-confrontational with people that we, you know, we eat lunch with every day, or, you know, maybe in some cases our families get together every other weekend. You know what? And so we're not really comfortable saying to the guy and gal that we hang out with after work, at work you should do better. And I think that that's where we've gotten to be as a city government structure. We just have a lot of incompetence. Most of the frontline people, the people you see at the front desk, the reception people, the people on the telephone, the people trying to resolve your problem, these are hardworking people. Come in every day early, leave late, and they're doing exactly what you would expect them to do. But there are always some sloths, some people who just won't do what they're supposed to do, and somebody has to keep them in check. Now, truthfully, it's not necessarily the average officer on duty or the desk clerk next door to keep them in check. There has to be a supervisory, a management. There has to be an evaluation system that checks and balances that. And I was screaming at my colleagues 10 years ago that we need to have performance audits and we need to have financial audits. And my colleagues, including Nick Mosby, who was in office with me in the city council at the time, voted against audits and said, we don't want audits. We don't need audits. They cost us too much. I said, you crazy. He says, we can't afford to do audits. I said, we haven't done an audit in 30 years. And how would we know what we're missing? Listen, we got a new person, Inspector General downtown, who's doing a bang-up job. 2 weeks ago, she discovered that one of the clerks had $50,000 of cash checks in her desk drawer. Now, the woman that they found them, she wasn't going to cash the checks or spend the checks. She just was taking checks over the counter from people paying their water bill and sticking it in a drawer and never depositing the checks. Now, it maybe $50,000 doesn't sound like a lot. It sounds like a lot to me, I'll tell you that.
You're trying to make Nestor's head explode, Carl. Those are the stories Nestor's head explode.
Carl, I mean, you've run for mayor. You've been a part of this thing, and now you're trying to win this city council presidency. You know, for everyone out there that's been asking for these things, Don, a year and a half ago, we started this thing, said the next mayor, he used the word hatred. We don't use that word for much, but a hatred of incompetence. Like, the next mayor has to find incompetence to be completely unacceptable.
Completely. And, of course, I'm not running for mayor this year. I have before. People said, not you, Carl, but I'm okay with that. But I have this love for public service, Well, I know where it came from, and I don't want to get into all of that. But, you know, it came from my parents. It came from, my good
That's what we do here, by the way. No, that's what we do here.
Get into it. Talk about where your love.
My parents and my school, the priest, and the nuns, and I just saw the sacrifices that the nuns and my church clergy, the priests. I was, good Catholic altar boy at St. Francis Xavier in East Baltimore. But then, of course, I went to this nice Jesuit high school. And so I saw the sacrifices, particularly that the nuns made back in the day. And I just saw that they did these things without real compensation at all. And the same with the priests. They lived next door. They drove the smallest cars. And they were always there for people, no matter what time of day or night. And I just was taught over and over in terms of my, and again, I don't want to go too far with this, but in terms of my religious training and my home training, I was just taught that service, you can't do anything better than to be of service to other people. And
that Jesuit men for others thing coming out in you, Carl.
Yeah, a man for others. You know what we learned, Don. And so I just have been taught that, and I've always felt that the measure of me is how much I can give back. And I don't have a halo on my head either. I'm as imperfect as the next man or woman. I'm as imperfect. But I've always felt that if I couldn't do something for others, that my life didn't really feel complete. And so I've had that urge to do. And now, even today, when I see Mrs. Jackson or any of the people in my neighborhood or your neighborhood who is just getting half you know, there are people making a great deal of profit off the taxpayers of Baltimore City. And it's not a black issue, white issue, brown issue. You know, there's a 1% group of people who just care about themselves, and they'll use I'm going to use a term I'd never learned in Catholic school, but they will screw anybody, black, white, or indifferent, because they're taking care of themselves, period. That's it. They want to take care of themselves. And Mrs. Jackson is having trouble paying this water bill that keeps going up and keeps going up by 10% every year. And just think about that, 10% every year. And we've already got 3 years of 30% increase already on the books. So they'll be increased another 30% over the next 3 years. That's already law. And so Ms. Jackson can hardly pay the water bill. Meanwhile, we're giving these guys in the Harbor East and other places, we're giving them 25 years of no property tax. 25 years, no property tax. They don't have to pay any property tax. We've already given them money to build and develop a land that is some of the most profitable land in the country. In the country, not just in Maryland. Anyway, I know I'm going off on a tangent, but I'm saying all of these things combined, just the reason I'm running. I'm running because it's enough. It's enough.
Well, your passion clearly comes through. Let's and again, we're talking with former Baltimore City Councilman Carl Stokes, wants to be City Council President. Very, very competitive race, June 2nd. Please vote. Your ballots are out there. Nestor and I always say, Nestor, what is it? Democracy is not?
Not a spectator sport. That's why we're in here, Carl.
No, it's not a spectator sport.
So get involved. So, Carl, let's talk about some of the specific issues related to City Council President. Right now, there's a tussle between the council and the mayor over some legislation that would have made it easier for the City Council to override mayoral vetoes. The mayor has, interestingly enough, vetoed that bill, so they're going to need a special session if they're going to get it on the ballot. Where do you come down on legislation that would make it easier for the City Council to override mayoral vetoes?
Well, I would like to see a better balance than we currently have. As you know, we probably in Baltimore have the greatest amount of power vested in the mayor than any other city in the United States. So I'm not making that up. We are either the only city with as much power vested in our mayor, or maybe there's maybe one or two others, but we're pretty much it. For example, as you know, on our spending board, which we call the Board of Estimates, which handles billions of dollars of contracts and vendors and other awards, you know, the mayor completely runs that board. There are five people on the board, but two of those persons are the Public Works Director and the City Solicitor, who are both appointed by the mayor and who obviously vote with the mayor. So three of the five votes belong to the mayor. And unlike the Board of Public Works in Annapolis that has three people who are elected to that, or most cities in America or most states in America have elected officials serving, or people that are appointed by the people serving on these boards. In Baltimore City, we have a very strong mayoral form of government. And I think it has, at this point, inured to the detriment of the average and the citizen. So, you know, people elect people to the city council as they elect mayors, but they elect to the city council, and the will of the council, which is supposed to be a an counterbalance to the mayor, their will is often subjugated to the will of the mayor. And they're not equal branches. Technically they are, but in reality they are not equal branches. That's a long answer, and I
appreciate it, and I want to segue. I mean, that's a major issue. But then I want to really segue. Nestor and I spent a lot of our time over the past year talking about the issue of crime in Baltimore City. And in the same pollster that's showing that your race is pretty much a toss-up indicates that there's really only one issue on the mind of voters in Baltimore City. And it was 70% of the city residents in that poll identified crime as the number one issue. So walk us through, as city council president, what the city council ought to be doing to help Commissioner Harrison fight crime. What can you do as city council president to make the streets that Nestor walks every day safe?
So let me say two things. I'm going to get to it. I don't necessarily know that Commissioner Harrison is the right person to be there. Let me say that the problem, one of the huge problems, is the fact that the entire system, the city, is operating on incompetency. The system over there is as broken in the police department as it is in the public works department, as it is in the water department. You can't resolve your issues on the street when the men and women on the street do not have confidence in their administration. And they don't have confidence in their administration. Listen, the cops can't always be there to stop a crime, but we expect that they can work the system well enough that they will solve crimes. Nestor, Don, the police department solves about 30% or less of the murders on a yearly basis.
You hear a stat that makes Nestor's head explode.
Yeah, that's a clearance rate that's completely unacceptable.
Right.
Yeah.
See, now there you go. So if you can't, you can't prevent crimes in most cases. I got that part. We all do. But you certainly, as heck, ought to be able to catch and put away the people who are more likely to commit crimes, because you guys know that the guy who's committing murder is a repeat offender in almost all of the cases. And if a guy knows he can get away with killing, he's going to keep killing. He's going to do it again, and he's going to plan the next one, and he's not going to worry about getting caught. So what I'm saying to you is the police department is broken as an entity, just like many of the other divisions are. So what I'm going to do is, as the president, is I'm not the mayor. I don't get to run the police department. It's an executive branch place, but I do get to bring that division into the city hall and have them questioned by the council members and the general public. I could also bring the general public into those hearings. And if I've got to bring those guys down every month, once a month, to give us some answers, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to have them before us a lot, because they may say they don't have time to come there. I don't think they have time not to come there, because what they're doing on the street is hurting business. I was asked two or three times already in forums, what am I going to do to change the perception of crime in Baltimore, which is keeping people from coming in, to coming into our businesses, to coming into our arts institutions? My standard answer is, to change the perception, we have to change the reality. We can't put what I'm saying to you, you guys know what I'm saying to you. Don't have me trying to pretend there's not a real problem here. There is a real problem here. Real people are being killed. I've got businesses, Little Italy, Hamden. I've got businesses that are trying to feed families in this city and outside of this city, and they need business, and they need a safe city to operate in. I've got people who are trying to go back and forth to work, who are trying to raise their children, and they are afraid of what could happen to their children, let alone themselves, daily on our streets. So I've got to bring the police department into City Hall on a monthly basis and demand of them what they are doing to solve the crime in our city. And by the way, again, it's not my job, but I got to bring in my state's attorney, and I've got to bring in others and say, what's going on? We can't have a situation where a state's attorney says, I'm not arresting people for, quote, minor crimes. Minor to who? An assault, you know, two of my friends got beat up by homeless people the other day, and they've been complaining about this encampment in front of their business on on West North Avenue for 2 months, and nobody did anything about it until they got beat up. Now, this is no way to run a city, brothers. No way to run a city. And so when you ask me what I'm going to do about crime, I'm going to admit that we have a crime problem. Let's start there. Too many of my colleagues won't admit that we have a crime problem. And I'm telling you, we got one, and we got to act on it.
Carl Stokes is running for city council president right here in Baltimore. The election ballots are out. We're trying to have all of the candidates on and certainly give equal time, public safety, education, economy, neighborhood redevelopment. You can read Carl's entire plan up at carlstokesforbaltimore.com. Carl, let's just talk about, we've talked so much about mayor. You know, Don and I have talked mayor, and we know about right. The special powers that you brought up. Tell me about the job of the city council president. We talked to Brandon Scott about it, and we haven't talked so much to him about even what his job was as much as what the mayor's job would be. What is the power? What is the influence that you would bring there to get things done? And what is it specific to that job that's different than, let's say, being a council person in the 12th district?
Okay, so there And by the way, I'm going to say this with a little smile on my face. You don't have to give them equal time. But anyway.
I do anyway, because it's the way I was raised.
I like the you don't have to be fair and everything, Nestor. But anyway.
I might run for office, Carl. So you never know, right? You know?
Right. The council president's job is twofold. One, he's the facilitator of the council meetings, and he is the person, or she is the person, who decides who chairs the committees, and that's the big part of one piece of the. So I want to say that the president is not the boss of the city council members. They are each, I don't want to say have their own little fiefdoms, but they are elected separately from the council president to represent the district from which they are sent. So he's not their boss, but he does keep the order and the protocols of the council and the council itself, the business running well. But I think at this point in time, the bigger job, and this is the second job that the president has, is the chair of the Board of Estimates. This is where all of the Baltimore City taxpayer money and other monies that come into the city are then dispersed for contracts, for vending, for any payments that the city incurs. So, and that's the place where I think we have to go from a 5-member board to a 3-member board, so that there's equal power on that Board of Estimates, and that the mayor does not have his or her way with the monies of the taxpayer. And so I think that that's the most important place, to chair the Board of Estimates and make sure, and to make sure that the money is being spent well, and that there is accountability for the money that goes forward, and even after the money and the contract is signed, to make sure that the contract has been done well and that the money has been well spent.
We are on the line with Carl Stokes. He is running for city council president. Just for everyone out there, talk a little bit about your mayor run and what you've learned in running for office here, as we're going to get this ballot with all these names for mayor, all these names for city council president, amongst other things, including presidential primary. We'll get around to November when we get there. But for now, and what's out in our mailboxes, some thoughts about the future of this city and why you're taking this on instead of running for mayor one more time.
Yeah, well, I've run for mayor a couple of times, and I didn't win either time, so I understand. I'm not a real crazy guy. I understand that the people think I do well at one thing, representing them in the council, but they didn't want me to be the mayor. And although I am a businessman, I've run 3 or 4 successful businesses myself. I've owned a couple of businesses, and I run businesses for other people. And by the way, I've run two successful schools for the cohort of students that people said I would have the most trouble with, young black males, 12, 13, 14 years old, middle school boys. And we were very successful with those young men. They have all gone on to college or successful lives and jobs. And so I was very proud of the fact that I have successfully run three or four enterprises very well. But it's okay. I my ego is not over the top. I just felt that I could be mayor and try to bring to bear some of these changes. But one thing I've learned, Don and Nestor, is that people don't want you to be totally honest with them. They don't want that. They want you to, like, the question I keep getting is, how would I change the perception? And I say to them, I'm not changing the perception. So it's going to take a little longer because I'm going to change the reality. So I'm not going to give you, you know, some mascara and lipstick tomorrow and have you think that we fixed something when it's not fixed. I'm going to take a little longer and I'm going to get to the bottom of this. And when they ask me, I'm not going to tell you, here's how I'm going to solve the police on the street problem, but instead I'm going to work on solving the police at the top in the administration problem. That's my problem. And then the men and women on the street can have a team who supports them and they can respect and look up to. And so that's what I found running for mayor, is that people wanted me to talk in quick sound bites, quick solutions, and I wouldn't do that. I understood it, and I was foolish in some aspects not to give them the sound bites, but I wouldn't do it. And so I think that being the president of the council, I'll work hand in glove, hopefully, with the next mayor. We got a lot of variety in terms of the mayor. People really have a lot of choices. They don't have to pick a particularly, you guys were talking about flavors earlier. They've got 52 varieties right now.
Have you endorsed anyone, Carl?
What'd you say?
Have you endorsed anyone?
No, I have not, and I'm not going to, and not because I don't like a number of them, but I really think that the president, the legislative body and the executive branch, the legislative branch and the executive branch, are two separate, equal, co-equal branches of government. And I just don't, I've seen members of my legislative branch be in bed with the executive branch and like I mentioned earlier, vote against good government measures. Like the mayor, when I was there 10 years ago, did not want audits. She did not want her department scrutinized and said so in no uncertain terms. And so people that I just mentioned earlier, like my Nick Mosby and others, you know, they were in bed with the mayor, and so they voted the way she told them to vote. And I just don't think that that's good government for the people.
And that was Mayor Dixon at the time?
No, that was Stephanie Rawlings-Blake.
Stephanie, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I came back into government when Stephanie became the mayor after the Dixon, and then Jack, my friend, stepped up into president of the city council and then asked me, and then I asked the other council members if I could return to my seat in the old 12th district.
Well, when you say city council president here, you're talking Jack Young over recent memory, right? Like for a long, long time, Jack held that role.
Yeah, he did. He did. He was there since 2010 until mid last year. I guess it was around May. He was there from 2010 as president until just recently.
Do you think it's a job as it is, even though you're running for it, where you do have a little bit of, maybe not one hand tied behind your back, but certainly some limitations in that job?
I missed the full question. Say it again.
Some limitations in the job of city council president that Jack would know now being the mayor. To your point, how much power you have as a mayor, that there is a limited amount of power even for the position you're running for.
Yeah, there is. There's a limited amount of power. I mean, if you have an independent body, you don't always have it. Sometimes you do. We've had it once or twice. I remember when I was there. But if you have the council acting as an independent body, you always have enough votes to stop mayoral initiatives, and you have enough votes to override the mayor's veto. And you can force the mayor to have to work with you to modify their stances or to change their stances or to support legislation that you want to see come through, meaning the body that is the council. So yeah, there is a limited amount of power, but part of that power is let us say, herding the cats that are the council. So if the president and the council works together, it has a great deal of power. It has power not quite equal to the mayor, because the mayor controls that budget presently with the three of the five members on the Board of Estimates. But the council can have a co-equal power in many legislative issues.
Well, I know we have to let you get out of here, but before we do, we'd be remiss if we didn't say, how worried are you about Baltimore City and its ability to deal with the fiscal crisis that every local government in the nation is about to face as a result of declining revenues related to COVID and small business failures? And if you are worried, what do you see yourself doing about it if elected?
Well, I am worried about it. I'm not worried about the people of the city, though. I think the people of the city are the best, and I don't just say that to pander. I think the people of Baltimore, you guys have been around here. We are the best. I mean, we help each other out. We got a lot of spirit, a lot of heart. We're just great fighters. I mean, we are underdogs from the day one. We're blue collar. I don't care where we are. I don't care what towers we're working in. Even our guys and gals downtown, they're blue-collar people. But I do believe that we're going to need help from the federal government to get through this. Look, when Wall Street was blowing up, Barack Obama and those men and women, they made sure Wall Street was covered. I'm just asking you guys to remember that. Wall Street and the banks, they kept saying they're too big to fail. From my street, they could have failed. I wouldn't have noticed them, right? But I understood that, so I'm not trying to be a smart but I am saying that in the same way that they felt Wall Street was too big to fail and they took care of Wall Street, they've got to take care of the small businesses on 36th Street, in Little Italy, on Eastern Avenue, on Monument Street, on Pennsylvania Avenue. We've got to make sure that those small businesses do not fail, because the small businesses are over 50% of the jobs in this country, and some places more. I think in Baltimore it's closer to 70 or 80%. So we've got to make sure that those small businesses survive. And it's much better that we put our funds into saving those small businesses, because the return will be worth it to us. But I do think we're going to need a federal stimulus. Now, listen, and I'll end on this. The airlines are getting federal stimulus. The banks are getting federal stimulus. The big guys in this country, and I don't say that they shouldn't. I'm not pointing a finger or judgment, right or wrong. I'm just saying, if you're going to take care of the big guys, you recognize that you got to take care of the small mom and pop on the side streets of our cities.
Well, as a small businessman, I know Nestor appreciates that. You're singing from the same hymnal there. Carl, I want to thank you for joining us. Anybody who steps up and runs for office, as Nestor knows, I have great admiration. You put yourself out there. You subject yourself to all kinds of criticism and scrutiny. So anytime you run, I say thank you.
Thank
and you're
you.
In the home stretch, and we wish you well on June the 2nd. That's-
Thanks. And we can win this. We can win this. 31% are undecided. And I'm going after that 31%. And everyone else, I'm going to try to change some minds. But I, let me just tell you, you don't have to be fair. You don't have to, but anyway.
But I am, Carl. You'll find that out.
Carl. We're going to give you one shot then before Nestor wraps us up. Give us the 30-second, Nestor likes to call it the elevator speech. Here it is for you. All of our listeners are going to be driving around and listening.
Well, I got a ballot in the other room, and I'm undecided, Carl. Just literally. My wife and I are city voters. We are undecided.
Okay.
Fact.
And Nestor, let me tell you and your wife, 10 years ago, I was the guy who came back to City Hall and said, what the heck is going on? Why haven't we audited in 30 years? And I'm the guy who stood up in the halls of City Council and said, you know what? I'm going to fight with everybody here until we start auditing the books of this government and finding out where every dime of a city taxpayer's money is. And I'm the guy who stood up when we were giving away shovels and barrels of tens of millions, of hundreds of millions of dollars to a couple of big developers who said, you know what, I'm going to spend this taxpayer money. I'm not going to pay any taxes for 25 or 30 years. And I said, let's scrutinize all of this. I'm not against development. Let's build it. But let's scrutinize it. And let's make sure that small businessmen and women in Baltimore get a chance to be a part of that development. Let's make sure that people who need day jobs are first in line. The small contractors are first in line locally. I'm the guy who stood up for the taxpayer and the everyday man and woman in this city. And I'm telling you, the guys and gals I'm running against were not there. And if they were there, they were voting the other way.
Carl, you got a lot of competition in this race. I got the ballot in the other room. And I tell you what, I do appreciate you taking 40 minutes out of your day educating our audience here at Baltimore Positive. As we set out to do this about 18 months ago, I, again, like Don, tip my cap to you as a citizen here who has ranted and raved at various points about my love for Baltimore as well as its issues. I appreciate you stepping up to the plate. Good luck to you next week, okay?
Thank you. I appreciate what you guys are doing with its podcast and your love and dedication to the city and the region. I mean, when we say city, we all know that we're talking about the region. Everything that we love is right here, is right as a part of this region, arts and culture. We don't have to build 6 symphony halls. We put it in Baltimore. People come here. We got the museums. We've got such great stuff. Anyway, so I want to thank you for all you've done to be loyal to your hometown.
Well, I'll tell you what, you're speaking our language here. I appreciate that. Don, appreciate that as well. We appreciate all of our sponsors, including Fadley's, which I am officially out of macaroni and cheese. I woke up this morning, I had macaroni and cheese. End of the day, I don't have it anymore. I could blame my wife, but she ate it last night, so we're going to have to get some more Fadley's and get over to see Damien and everyone. Fadley's is still there. They'll ship those crab cakes. They'll curbside the crab cakes for you if you call ahead. Stop downtown, quick and easy, on the back street side, as I stopped in earlier this week to do that. Don had him shipped over. And, of course, you can get over to State Fair as well. I got to get some chicken wings over there. I've been texting with Evan. I've been asking for a special chicken recipe. He won't give it to me. He says I got to come over and get it fresh the way he makes it. So I'll get over to State Fair very, very soon. You should as well. No hate in a 21228 out on Frederick Road. Also, our friends at Mueller & Gary Realty, still closing deals, still listing homes, still getting it done in a bit of a virtual world right now, but you can find Jeff Mueller, Mueller & Gary Realty. They will take great care of you. And we promoted our Taharka ice cream here. I would love to tell you that I'm out of Honey Graham. I wouldn't love to tell you that, but I was yesterday. But they have replenished my Honey Graham stock. I have been tweeting up and social mediaing up. Last night I did Caramel Crunch. And what did I do last night? I did Caramel Crunch. I did something else. Eggnog, maybe. I got to get some eggnog in me. They kept me eggnog special from the holiday season. You know, when you're eating eggnog in May, you know the people at Taharka love you. That's just a fact. All right, nastywnst.net finds me. Don Mohler and I doing a lot of work this week. Police chiefs, fire chiefs, city council president hopefuls, educational leaders, the Anne Arundel County executive, Stuart Pittman here. Lots and lots of mayoral candidates as the ballots begin to drop, as well as some mayoral analysis from Mark Steiner, as well as Patrick Gonzalez a couple weeks ago, pollster. So the polls are coming out. The ballots are in the box. We're here. It is time to vote. It's time to make Baltimore better. I am Nestor. He is former Baltimore County Executive Don Mohler. We remain calm, local, and Baltimore positive.